Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we seek you and we worship you through Jesus Christ. The joy that we have to know your pure, wonderful goodness and love gives us comfort and conviction to faithfully advance your gospel, both near and far. Thank you for giving us the ability to be a part of your kingdom as we make Jesus our Lord. So many beautiful and lovely things. Even this warm spring weather is wonderful. We see the flowers and the fields, the trees, and it puts joy into our hearts. We feel the hope that we have in God, and oh, how lovely that hope is. We want to always overcome the concerns we have as we pray for healing and restoration. We pray for goodness and godliness for ourselves and others. We want more trust in the Lord, which gives us more hope and grace, and we certainly do want more hope and grace. Still, life has circumstances and things come up. Sometimes there are struggles with the people and the situation around us. We struggle with the ungodly presence in the world, and life can be full of struggle. But the one good thing about struggle is if there is a battle, well, in order to have victory, we must have a battle. And a battle can be a personal issue. Oh, you know, some of the habits that we might get with alcohol or grooming or overeating. So we do have battles, and then we overcome what the problem is, and we can speak about the victory. Money can be a battle also. When we spend more than we can afford, oh yes, that's a battle. And don't we all want to save our money? Yes, we do. Saving money is so important, and so often we need a plan to do that and a budget. And these days we see an economy where prices are going up, at least for some things. And when prices go up or down, we have to adjust our budget. A week ago, my friend sent me a photograph of the price of gasoline at a 7-Eleven in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And it read, regular gasoline, $1.39 per gallon. Wow. Could we have that in California? I just wonder. You know, the oil price could drop yet again because there is an oversupply in our country, or an underuse, you might call it. Just now, there are about 30 Saudi oil tankers off the coast waiting to be unloaded on the West Coast and the East Coast. So, the price drop of gasoline, is that good news? Yeah, it is, and it isn't, both. It's kind of disrupting to the whole economy when we have prices suddenly increase or decrease. And it is kind of a balance how we get through our monthly budget. Sure, the gas prices are going down, but we're not using as much gas, and some other prices are going up. Groceries are going up, and the economy is up and down, and it is affecting everyone's life. The shutdown due to the virus is causing very much strain and uncertainty in everyone's personal and financial life. And thankfully, plenty of people are getting unemployment and a stimulus payment, And that is helping to get people by. But what about in 6 months? What about when there's no more benefits available? Like an unemployment has run out, or just poverty sets in. A couple of days ago, I heard our California governor say that he wanted to relax the shutdown on people, but that there would be a continuing shutdown on business. It's just going to be tough. We don't exactly know what will happen, but again, I talk about preparedness, and it's a good thing. I've heard the politicians talk about a universal basic income. That means money for everyone. Everyone. And right about now, you might like that idea because the economy is, it's having some troubles. But if we had a universal basic income, that also would wreck our economy. It would wreck our nation because everyone would have money and everyone would pay more for their stuff. The prices would increase. They would skyrocket because that's what prices do. When everybody has money or whatever you want to call it, gold, currency, then the prices go up. It's just kind of a natural inclination of everybody to charge more when they can. That has happened in gold rushes around the world. And if you look at our famous gold rush in California in 1849 and 1850, well, the prices just skyrocketed because people could afford to charge whatever the prices were. And with that universal basic income, it would be about the same thing. People would charge more because they can. That's what happens when you have abundant wealth, or, well, in the last decades, we have had abundant credit. And people both buy at whatever price that they can, what's available. And people also want more when they can buy more. People have not been able to restrain themselves from overspending. This is everybody. It's the people, our neighbors, us, all of us. We all do it. And the politicians are people too. And they have shown that they are not able to restrain themselves from overspending the public tax money. And that has been going on all along. But these days, they do it more and more because they can, and they've done it. And they don't have any consequences to overspending and putting us all in debt. And all that will lead to instability all throughout our economy. There's plenty of people who are calling for an economic collapse, just like have happened in some other foreign countries, Zimbabwe, Venezuela, Argentina, and more. Those are the recent ones. But don't worry, because that won't happen here, right? Don't worry. We are smarter than that. Well, I would say that people have a human nature, and we all like to spend, and we all like to spend other people's money, and we all like to help other people. Human nature. So I don't see how we can not overspend. I just don't see it. If the money is available, it's going to be spent. Sooner or later, it looks to me like the overspending will cause big economic trouble. The statistics say that about 70% of the people in the United States live paycheck to paycheck and have no savings. And then 50% of us could not pay for an immediate $400 expense. If we had to spend $400 for an emergency expense, it would have to be put on a credit card. All this just shows you that we are not in good economic health. We don't have the fundamentals of economics covered in our life. And now, with this virus coming along, there are so many people that cannot pay rent this month. And it's not just people. It's the people in homes and apartments. It's also small businesses. Businesses and small businesses are unable to pay their rent this month. Everybody is getting pressurized. The banks are under pressure. Even the largest businesses are under pressure. Like General Motors Company, they have had difficulty. Let's see, Ford Motor Company, they've had difficulty. There's an industry magazine that reports Ford lost $632 million in the first quarter of this year. So the businesses all over, the industries all over America are losing money. And if any company loses big money, well, they just cannot survive long. So nowadays, every business, very large to very small, is losing money. And every level of government is needing money. So what's going to happen? Borrowing, borrowing, borrowing. Our government is going to borrow. That's just how we are dealing with the financial strain that we're feeling. And how long can this keep going where we are spending and spending and spending our money? Well, it can't go on forever, and you know what happens when we overspend. The consequences are that we lose what we own. That is basic economic law. When we cannot pay the dollars that we owe, we lose what we own. That's what the direction is that we all are headed towards. I talk about dollars and I talk about money because dollars are issued by the government and money is something of value. We have in the world dollars and francs and yen and pounds and rubles, and we all need the currency of that nation to pay our taxes and also to pay for various bills that we have. That's the system worldwide, and so we do need the currency. And we talk about it like it's money. But money is something that has a value that is desired by someone. And that is the basis of why our coins are silver and gold. Well, they used to be silver and gold. And it has been such a repeated pattern that when money is printed, it has no value, and printed money, which is currency, loses its value. And as paper currency is printed excessively, inflation takes place. And that is just what has happened in the United States. We have Federal Reserve notes in our wallets. And if you look back in a little bit of time, you will notice that our dollars do not buy as much as they used to buy. Long ago, our money used to be silver coins and gold coins. Oh, and then there was copper pennies, nickels. But what our Constitution, our U.S. Constitution, requires that our money is silver and gold and a semi-precious metal. That's Article 1, Section 10 of our United States Constitution. Oh, but then in 1913, Congress gave up the responsibility to watch over our nation's money, and Congress created the Federal Reserve. Since then, our U.S. dollars have drastically lost buying power. That's been going on year after year. Now our dollars are their Federal Reserve notes, and more of them are put into circulation every year. And the more of something that you have, the less is each one's value. This principle has been going on for so many decades, and our Federal Reserve just keeps printing more and more Federal Reserve notes. Well, printing? Yeah, they create them on a computer screen. So, when loans are made, the Federal Reserve is able to create more dollars. And so we talk about the old term, when money is printed. It's now on computer screens, but we get the principle here, the principle involved. What's going on these days is the Federal Reserve is loaning money all over the place to foreign institutions and foreign central banks, as well as all the ones in the United States. I have listened to just plenty of videos that explain the Federal Reserve, and there is still plenty that I don't understand. So I think it has been made intentionally vague so that we do not fully understand it, so that they can keep things hidden from us. I don't, for instance, understand how in the last 6 months, how can hundreds of billions of dollars been injected into, it's called the overnight funds of the banking system? Yeah, look it up. It's if you want to, it's the quote-unquote repo market system. But there are things going on that we don't understand, and the Federal Reserve is a private corporation that does not have to make their notes public. So we kind of question what is going on. Some of it we understand and some of it we don't. But I look at the overall picture here and I ask, what does it mean when our Federal Reserve is putting hundreds of billions of dollars injected into the banking system? That's in the last 6 months. Well, what will that do to our economy? We have a few guesses, don't we? Inflation is my guess. But I also have to ask, the Federal Reserve did this because they found it necessary to. And what would have happened if the Fed had not injected those hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars? What would have happened to our U.S. economy if they had not done that? Yeah. So do you call that money printing? Do you call that what? They call it injecting. Well, it has to be devaluing our dollars, and that means that everything is going to cost more and our dollars will not buy what they used to. Financial people for a few years have said that the Federal Reserve would have to print and print and print as time went on and make money so plentiful that it would be as though it was thrown out of helicopters to the population below. And that's hyperinflation. There are people who say that's going on right now, Federal Reserve people. There are examples of this kind of hyperinflation in history. It's so famous that the German hyperinflation of the 1920s was so well examined. But other countries have had it too. Austria had it at about that time. Zimbabwe, those billion-dollar bills, banknotes, are famous too. So, yes, inflation, inflation, inflation. The story from Germany, 1920s, is a man brought a wheelbarrow full of paper currency to a baker to buy a loaf of bread, and the baker looks at the wheelbarrow full of money and says, "I'll take the wheelbarrow. You can take the currency in exchange for bread." So, hyperinflation. By the way, in Germany at that time, people did pay off all their loans. That was a good thing, but the economy was killed off, and so few people had a job or had income that the economy crashed. Could that happen here? Yes, it could. And the thing that follows is inevitably it is a depression. And more than a few people have predicted just that. And I know that it's not a popular message to give. I don't think anybody wants to hear about those kind of bad things that just might be coming our way. But really and truly, it is a real possibility. So, yeah, I believe I'm shouting out a warning to anybody who will listen. It's up to each one of us to investigate what I am talking about, and then you get to decide really what to do about it. But look at the indicators. Look at what people are talking about. Have a look. See what you see. And if you see them too, you can be getting ready for a tough time. I think it's up to each one of us to evaluate what is in front of us and make decisions based on what you understand. And there are plenty of people who are getting ready for that tough time. People are even saying it will be a Great Depression, like that of the 1930s. During the 1930s, money just dried up. There was none. There was no currency available. If anybody had paper dollars brought into them as a business or as a bank, they just kept on to them. They held on so tight because nobody could even think if another dollar bill was coming in. Dollar bills. I mean, that's how impoverished it got to be when people didn't have any income for months. None. There was not any charity system by the government at that time. So it was tough. A lot of people just barely made it. So many business bankruptcies happened, and everyone was afraid that they would lose what they had during that Great Depression. So the people at that time held on to everything that they could, from a dollar bill of currency to all their little possessions too. If you are a little older, you will know people who went through that Great Depression, and they saved everything. Rubber bands, string, anything that could be used again, because they went through that Great Depression and there was really nothing available. Nowadays, with everything being tied together, our markets being tied together, our central banks being tied together, our economies tied together throughout the whole world. We would probably be looking at a worldwide depression. And you can think that the richer countries would be the ones that would suffer the most, because we richer countries have a history of having what we want. And we don't know how to deal with a time when we don't have what we want. So it would be, in a sense, more difficult for the countries that have a lot. The central banks around the world have been intertwining themselves together through borrowing and lending, and they just have been doing that. They've been making stock purchases on one exchange or another, primarily the New York Stock Exchange, where these central banks have been buying hundreds of millions of dollars of stocks, and that keeps it propped up. And that is a part of the intertwining that's going on. The Fed, the Bank of England, the Bank of Scotland, the Swiss National Bank, the Bank of China, the Bank of Japan, all of them interchanging monies and purchases of assets of various kinds. Today, there are over 100 national banks around the world. They're basically one for every country. Well, let's see. There are two countries which in the world which do not have a privately owned national bank, and they are North Korea and Iran. Kind of interesting that those are the two renegade countries, isn't it? 20 years ago, there were a few other countries that did not have a privately owned central bank, and they were Iraq, Libya, and Afghanistan. And a strange thing happened to those countries. They had military intervention done in them. And now we have globally integrated central bank systems. Is it a coincidence or is it a plan? I don't know. But these are privately held central banks, or national banks they might be called. They are owned as private corporations, just like our Federal Reserve is. Private ownership. Well, we can only guess at what the future will hold, but we can certainly see the direction of it and try to figure out how we can stay safe and secure and protected. Well, let's take a look at the coronavirus. That's one of those things that we are trying to figure out. We know that it originated in China, right? Well, China does not agree. About 4 days ago, China officially outright accused the United States of lying about the coronavirus coming from Wuhan, China. Well, we pretty much get the idea that it certainly did. So what's up with that, I wonder? Did it come from Wuhan, China? Well, let's see. Right about that same day, Dr. Bragan on Coast Radio said that the Chinese at Wuhan Biolab facility had been testing to find out which diseases would cause an epidemic the most efficiently, and that they had been doing that testing since 2015. Then, let's see, right about then I heard another broadcaster come on, and he said that there were 30 different strains of the coronavirus. Interesting. I'm not the kind of person to look that deeply into science, but We can always listen to people who do. These days in America, there are a lot of concerned people. They don't want to die. They don't want to get the coronavirus. And so most people are supporting a society-wide testing or a shutdown of this nation, basically, because of the coronavirus. There are different polling results here and there. So one poll will say just that, shut down society, stay in your homes, and another poll will say that we need to be free again and go where we want and work when we can and spend our money. So whatever the polls say, it's just fine to take it all with a grain of salt and try to evaluate it from your own understanding. Well, things were going on in Wuhan, China. Sure, we don't know what, but we get some pretty good ideas. They did have that level 4 biolab there, and that apparently was the source of the coronavirus. So there are different views of what is going on and what it all means. We get to figure it out, and it's not going to be easy for us, but it gives us a direction when we kind of understand the situation. We try to understand where everything could lead to. Yeah, where will it lead to with so many people living in fear of this coronavirus? There are plenty of people who say keep our nation locked down. And there are plenty of people who are supporting the idea of having widespread remote scanners in public places to scan the body temperatures of everyone. And anyone who had a temperature would be required to visit a doctor's office to be checked out for the virus. So there are proposals going on. Another proposal was to require everyone in any public place to be tested every 2 weeks to be cleared periodically and officially. Well, we can only guess what this could lead to. What those kind of requirements, well, it would require a lot of monitoring, a lot of government intervention. Is that what you want to have happen in your life? The government is not always efficient like it claims to be. And sometimes things happen that you are not agreeable to. So we can only guess at what this all would require to be done if there really is an extensive public call for it. Well, if that's the case, we would have to have our extensive public medical records available to a government organization. We would also have to have extensive facial recognition. And all that would be a great degree of control over our entire United States population. You know, there's so much control in the over the population of other countries, especially China. Is that what we want here? If we have those medical records easily accessible and facial recognition and population control, it would be a very short step to where you would be controlled as to what you bought and sold. You know, if you didn't have the proper papers, the proper mark, whatever you would call it, chip, it would be a short step to require people to submit to that order. And that's something we have to just decide on. Are we going to be free, or are we going to be safe and controlled? I did hear, like 10 days ago or so, two ideas about, it's again about the control and chipping people. But what will happen? For instance, if you look back 6 months ago, nobody in our country thought that we would have the situation this corona is bringing about. Coronavirus and lack of toilet paper and lack of groceries. Not anyone could have guessed that 6 months ago. And all of a sudden, there it is, right upon us. So don't exclude the idea that we could have a great big change in the way our economy or our government works and interacts with each one of us. And if there was another coronavirus that was attacking our population, well, we could have anything happen, I think. What if millions of U.S. citizens were put under real lockdown? Yeah, so it's another thing that just could happen. Because there are a whole lot of political people who want to protect the citizens. And really what that means is control the citizens. And there are a lot of citizens who want to be protected. And that means controlled. So we have things going on right now in our country that we're going to have to make decisions about. What direction do we go? Do you want freedom or safety? And who pays for it all? The amount of everything it's costing, taking out of our economy, to do all this is immense. And just remember that every dollar that is spent comes from us. The government doesn't have any money. It spends our money and taxes each one of us. So you just keep that in mind as you think about what government can do for you. They're going to charge you a whole lot of money or currency to do that. So what about our freedom? Freedom, that reminds me of that quote from Thomas Jefferson. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. So, everybody, how are we doing at that one? Are we being vigilant? I don't know the answer. Well, I think of that John Adams quote from the late 1700s, that our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governing of any other. And I wonder about that. And I just have to think, are we a moral and religious people? Well, yeah, we all get to think about that one for a few minutes, don't we? Our American history, it comes about from so much of the Bible, and I think it would do us good to read and learn the Bible and what it's about. The Bible does want us free. First, it is so that we may freely worship God, but it also is good for the human condition. But the Bible also has instances of allowing a person to become a slave by choice. And slave is not the slave that we think of in American history. It's more like an indentured servant, where you do get compensated for the work you do, but you are taken care of by a master. So, I cannot help but wonder what it means for the choices that we as a society are making. Are we becoming more or less moral? Are we allowing our economic decisions to enslave us, indenture us? I just have to wonder, because every choice that we make has consequences. And don't forget, there's some pretty tricky people in the world, or tricky spiritual beings, whatever you want to call them, and they try to catch us up and make it so the details of what we think we are agreeing to turn into something different. This virus lockdown might be pretty much the same thing, where we think it means one thing, but it really moves into another area. Are we really ready for a lockdown? Just think back to San Antonio in Los Angeles. Now, there's other places too, but those were on the news, where there were shelter-in-place orders, and the food banks, when they opened to the public for brief times, they had lines of cars coming to them, miles-long lines of cars of people needing to get food. See, they had lines of cars because people were not allowed out of their cars. Well, food banks ran out of food. It didn't take very long for that to happen. So, food. I would say pay attention to food. If you look back in history, that was always how people were controlled. There were food lines in many countries. And in the 1930s, in the Great American Depression, there were bread lines. See? Food. Every one of us needs food to live. So that's something that if you want your independence, you better figure out how you can stay free by having food, probably in excess, because you will probably want some for your friends and family too. If this coronavirus comes back again, we will see something a little different, I'm sure. And the hospitals that we were told were going to be overwhelmed, well, they weren't. That did not happen. You'll have to talk to the experts about why, but it certainly did not happen that the hospitals were overrun. In fact, the hospitals had to send employees home because they didn't have enough patients. So there's lots of conflicting information and lots of different conflicting policy decisions that were made quickly and carried out, and they have proved to be unwise. So think about things, be wise, look at the information that you can, and make sense of everything. One of those doctors, well, he was also a Minnesota senator, Dr. Jensen, said that the death certificates were being issued with the wrong causes of death. Because when people die from coronavirus, there's more money in it than if they die of a heart attack. And so it is said that the death certificates have the wrong cause of death. Lots of things are said. Lots of things are manipulated. You know, don't you, from experience in this world, that people lie. They tell mistruths so they can get more money. Is that what's going on here? Well, I wouldn't discount it, but I don't know that it is. I think about another person, retired U.S. Congressperson Ron Paul. He says that the initial coronavirus research was wrong. The papers that they put out were wrong, and the government used those initial research papers to make decisions. But we're learning more, and we probably would not have made the same policy decisions if we had have had more information. So be aware of that when you hear about decisions that are being made. Like in Sacramento, they spent $15 million recently to help the homeless and in light of coronavirus. But the number of people they helped for those 15 million people, $15 million, has been about 300-400 people or less. It was less than that. But money is spent. And that's what politicians do. They spend money for our good, but it's our taxpayer dollars that are funding it all. Oh, and if they don't get enough dollars, they get loans. And yes, again, I'll say our government has no money of its own. All the money it spends comes from us taxpayers. Now, if you pay taxes, that's true. But if you buy things from a company and they pay taxes, it's also true, because what they charge you for includes taxes. So just be aware of everything the government does is going to cost you something. And we know that for each one of us personally, it is better to have savings than debt. So remember, that's a goal, is to get out of debt and have savings. And have that be a very great desire of yours, so that you can save money or save materials and supplies and food and all that. You need to have things to help people. If you are so broke that you can't even share a little bit of food, it's pretty hard to help people. And if we have a depression, it just makes more sense for each of us to prepare in a way to help people. The depression idea is not a popular one to think about, but it has been said enough that, and examined enough by economic people, that it would be foolish to think that it might not happen. It's certain that we do not know. We can't know, but we can look at the likelihood and say, yes, it's likely, and therefore I should make a plan. What plan makes sense to you? You know, we're all different. Every one of us has a different idea. So think of a plan and remember how grateful we are. Don't think about all the negatives, but think about all the things that we do have, that we can make plans, that we can plan to have something to put aside. Here in the United States, we are a very rich country. And we really have not had any shortages except for the last few months. We have dependable electricity, dependable food, good emergency services. And yes, what a blessing it is to live in this country. We have prosperity and plenty. So we just want to be aware that it might not always be just this way. A lot of people wonder about what we should do to have some kind of a preparedness plan. And really, every one of us has a different idea about that. I think that you need to identify what your concerns are and try to figure out what you would do to have your concerns addressed. So many people think of an earthquake or a fire or something like that when they think of what to get prepared for. They think of a medical kit. And the thing that you want to remember is food. We all need food and good water. So that, I think, is something always to remember. It's long-term food, not the food that you would make for dinner next week or something like that. It's for the just in case, because that food is, well, just think about it. If we ever have to shelter in place, we just might need food. And I just talked about the food lines at the to get food. And you know, the grocery stores are running out of certain things. So, yeah, think about it. The governor is thinking about having more sheltering in place, or in a way keeping the economy shut down. Maybe that's not people. Maybe that's just the businesses. Okay, just the businesses? Well, yikes, because that would mean more businesses would go bankrupt. And what would we do if we couldn't buy things? What would we do if the farmers couldn't get their milk and vegetables to market? And that is certainly going on. Farmers are leaving their foods in the field to rot, and they're dumping the milk. Why? Because they cannot get the workers. It is a very serious situation. We are saving some people, but other people will suffer. It's government central planning. Well, look after yourself and figure out what you want to do. It's a lot of tough questions, a lot of decisions to be made. But it might not just be the toilet paper that we have our next shortage in. It could be a whole lot of other things. This coronavirus has given us all sorts of things to be concerned with. And so think about it. Get your thoughts together and think about what you can do to find a solution for you. Oh, you can also think about what is the truth of what is going on. Yeah, I talked about the doctors, about writing a little different coronavirus death certificate. And we have found that the doctors have a little something different to say about the contagious factor. The reports are different now than they were when we first looked at this. And a lot of the deaths, the politicians are citing examples of young people or people in the 30s who have died. But what we find later is just about all of them have some underlying cause, one or two underlying causes as to why this coronavirus affected them so seriously. You will have to look for your own self about what to do. There's just too many decisions that we have to make and to try to determine what is true information and what is not so true information. And a part of what we do is we talk and try to understand, learn things from each other. The truth is something that is hard to get to. So often, we just don't know the truth. We can look at, I like this, for instance, when we look at the wars in the last 100 years, they were all based on lies. You can look at Afghanistan. Was that because of Osama bin Laden, or was that something else? Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, but none were found. Vietnam, it was because of the Gulf of Tonkin incident, but it's found out that it didn't happen the way they said, not at all. And World War II, because of Pearl Harbor? Okay, well, that surely did happen, but there's a lot of evidence to show that the U.S. had knowledge of all of the Japanese communications, and they knew what was coming. World War I was because of the Lusitania was sunk by a German submarine torpedo. So all these different things have happened in the past, and what will happen tomorrow, we don't know. But it is important for each of us to seek the truth. Yes, most importantly is the Bible truth, because we have an eternity where our decisions that are made in this lifetime are going to have an eternal impact on us and our soul and spirit. So we might not want to believe everything we hear. We might want to look for ourselves and seek knowledge. The Bible gives us real, true knowledge. It's a true book. And so there's nothing more important than knowing the truth about where we will spend eternity after we die. So by all means, look at what that eternal truth is. Seek to know God. And that's a lot of what the Bible is written about. That Jesus died for your sins, and when we accept his gift to us, we will be saved from hell. His gift is his death on the cross, a sacrifice for our sin. And then what we want to do is repent and be born again. So all that information is in the Bible, and we can learn it by listening to people tell about it also. But there's no excuse, nothing better than to listen to God's word, and that is what is written in the Bible. So remember that spiritual preparation so that we do not suffer, and remember our physical preparation also so that we do not suffer here on earth. So to get my preparedness pamphlet, it's free. Just send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.